Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our identity is determined by a lot of things. When you first meet someone, you might ask, "Where are you from? What are you studying at college?" "Oh, you're a Bethany student. You're majoring in math. You're in choir. You're on the baseball team." All of those things say something about who we are. In a similar way, we are all representatives of various groups with whom we are associated. If we see someone hanging around with certain people, we might think that they are like those people. Perception and reality don't always go together, but very often they do. Someone looks at us and thinks, "So that's how a Christian acts. That's how someone from Bethany does things. They certainly see many good things that Christians do. But because we are sinners, they sometimes see the bad things we do as well." You probably remember Pastor Savonius in Hammer of God. He tried to be perfect and do everything right, and to get other people to do everything right. He even made laws beyond what the Bible said. And Savonius and his followers looked like really good people, and in many ways they were. But they used the Bible as a rule book. He thought that Peter in our text was telling women not to wear jewelry, and so that's what he preached. But Savonius came to realize that no matter how hard he tried, he could never rid his heart of pride, jealousy, anger, and other sins. It's easy to focus on the outward things, wearing jewelry, drinking alcohol, fancy clothing, or whatever it might be. It's easy to make rules about things. And it sounds like Peter is saying that. Don't let your adornment be outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. But Peter's talking about something a lot harder. He says that your adornment, what you wear and what people see on you, what people notice about you, shouldn't be your hair and your clothing, but the hidden person of the heart, the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Who can do that? No one, really. But this is set before Christian wives as what their character should be. No one can be perfectly gentle and quiet, certainly not incorruptible. But Peter says this to Christian women who are married to non-believers. He says, be the best Christian you can be in a very gentle and quiet way. Think of your relationship to God and all that God has done for you. And in love for God, show that love also to your husband. And when he sees your chaste conduct, your gentleness, he may be won for Christ also. Let him see your repentance when you fail, and how you trust in God's forgiveness, and he will understand how precious that forgiveness is. Likewise, it can be tempting for Christian husbands to lay down the law, to set the rules as head of the household. That's the easy way out. The harder thing is to show love and patience, to put your wife's interests before your own. But that's what St. Paul says in other passages and what Peter says here. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Christian husbands are to be a picture of Christ who laid down his life to save mankind. Another impossible task. Every Christian husband fails at this because he is a sinner and his selfish nature will too often win out. But let every Christian husband show his repentance and his trust in God's forgiveness. That's what Christian marriages and Christian people have that other religions and other ethic systems do not. There's a clear recognition of sin and failure, and an equally clear understanding of full forgiveness through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Many religions and ethical systems recognize sin and wrongdoing. They punish it harshly. They shun it and avoid it as much as possible. And that's all fine and good. We should reject all sin, all evil, all harm, anything that hurts or brings hatred to our neighbor. Other religions and ethical systems try to offer forgiveness, to overcome difficulties in life, to be accepting and loving to the point that they begin to overlook what sin really is. And unless there is real repentance for sin, and unless that forgiveness is based on Jesus Christ, it has nothing to do with God. Just alone we come to God the Father. For Jesus himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. St. Paul says, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Believing in yourself will not save you, but condemn you. Christianity offers the clear understanding of sin, which God completely condemns, and the salvation which is offered freely by God's grace through Jesus Christ alone. Jesus honored human life in all its aspects through everything he did. He honored marriage at the wedding of Cana. He healed the sick and the lame and the blind. He cared for the poor and the downtrodden, those who are troubled by sin and other difficulties of life. He brought us all back to God and gave us the promise of eternity and paradise restored. It is that understanding for Christian husbands and wives and for all Christian people that makes and shapes our relationships and how we treat each other. As Peter says, being heirs together of the grace of life. In this season of Epiphany, we see Jesus as the perfect and powerful God, the image and icon of God's mercy and forgiveness. He also invites us to be images of God's forgiveness to the unbelieving world, so that they can see what it means to be redeemed, restored, and forgiven, what it means to be loved by God, and to be heirs of the grace of life. May God grant that his word of life and forgiveness may spread to all people and to all nations, that we may be heirs with them of the glory that Jesus shows us as our Savior and our God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.